Amen. Thank you, brother. What a great job. Wasn't that great? Amen. Thank you. Wow. If that doesn't get you fired up, I don't know what will. Well, I'm so thankful to be here this evening, and certainly we want to be in prayer for our pastor. How blessed we are to have such a wonderful man of God, and for our staff. Cannot say enough good things. This evening, we're going to be looking at three different chapters in the book of Exodus. And when Dana had printed this off, she sent it to me and said, "Will this be all right?" And I said, "Yes." She said, "Well, you just have three little things." I said, "That's all I need." And she put the scripture. I didn't know she was going to do that. Now, what she didn't know is that my Bible, my ESV Bible, had literally fallen apart. And it's on its way to Brazil to get fixed. That's another story. But anyway, so she printed this out, and I'm just going to read it right off the page as she has it printed. It's since in the ESV, and you all can follow right along. You know, frustration. Sometimes that word is mispronounced. Sometimes it's called flusteration. It's been defined as an emotion that keeps you from being able to succeed or to get from where you really want to be. I don't know how it was. I mean, many years ago when I was growing up, sometimes someone would say, "Man, I'm so mad I could eat a goat burger." Well, okay, that was one expression. Or maybe even Roger Miller, who said, "I get so frustrated that it's like trying to roller skate in a buffalo herd." I don't know if you get that frustrated or not. But sometimes it seems like you just keep trying to go forward and it's just not happening. And just as we experience frustration in our everyday life, we also experience frustration in our spiritual journey. Now, I want you to understand something. When the Holy Spirit of God convicts our hearts of sin in our life, and that's our problem, sin, and we respond in faith and faith alone, then His grace is poured out into our hearts and our lives. And the Holy Spirit comes not only to live within us, but He brings about that spiritual birth, and we begin a spiritual journey. And that journey goes on for the rest of our physical life. It doesn't end. We keep right on going. And I wish I could sit back and tell you that spiritual journey is just nice and smooth and there's no bumps along the way, but that's just simply not the case at all. We are pilgrims. We are ambassadors for our Lord. We are here on this earth with a divine purpose and a commission from our Lord to be faithful in sharing the gospel and growing and maturing in our faith and our walk with Him. That is our purpose for existence. That's why we're here. That's what it's really all about. And one day we get to go home to be with Him. Now, when you go back to Exodus, you have this picture of a generation that's coming out of bondage. This didn't happen overnight. It'd been going on for 400 years, maybe longer. That's all this generation had ever known, was bondage, slavery. That's all they knew. But it shouldn't surprise us. Matter of fact, going all the way back, you have to go back to Joseph and Jacob and Isaac and then all the way back to Abraham. And God told Abraham in Genesis 15:13 that God's people were going to spend 400 years in bondage. Everything God says in His word, folks, you can mark it down. It will happen just exactly like He says it's going to happen. It is His word to you and I. But they begin a spiritual journey. They moved out of slavery and bondage and to begin a journey that God would lead them in. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that He led them by a cloud during the day and by a pillar of fire during the night. God was leading His people. And God, through His Holy Spirit living in us, wants to lead you and I, to move us from where we are to where he wants us to be, so that we can be effective in doing kingdom work for his honor and his glory in all that we do. In many, many ways, it's a picture of how the Holy Spirit works in our life when you begin to study how they came out of bondage and the journey that they took. Now, matter of fact, if you were to go down in Paul's writings, when he was writing to the church at Corinth in chapter 10, the first 10 verses, he goes through and says, now I want you to understand how God's people was leaving out of bondage in Egypt and how God worked in their hearts and lives. And then when we come to verse 11, he says something very interesting. He said, all these things happened to them as examples, and they are written for our instruction. Isn't that interesting? So if we're wise, we're going to go back and we're going to look at that journey, and then we're going to glean some truths from that journey and apply it to our own hearts and lives. And that's what I want to do this evening. And I want to touch on three things. First of all, let's look at Exodus 13, verse 17. I want to talk about the listen of detours. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them along the road to the land of the Philistines, even though it was nearby, for God said, the people will change their minds and return to Egypt if they face war. The first thing that I want you to understand and see is that God chose the route that he wanted them to go. It may not have been the route that they wanted. They may have not understood why it was happening the way it was happening. Sometimes that's true for our lives. But God was leading them in a direction that he wanted them to go. You know, Isaiah said in chapter 55, his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts, they're so much higher. And we don't always understand, Lord, why did this happen? Why did you lead me into this? Why did this take place? But folks, I want you to understand something. God is omni. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is always present. He's immutable. That means he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a sovereign God. He is in control. And he leads us where he wants you and I to be, even when we don't always understand why things are happening the way they happen. The year was 1920. There was an examining board for missionaries, and standing before the board was a young man by the name of Oswald Smith, and he knew that God had called him to be a missionary, and so he was eager to go. He went before the board. He began to share his heart. Hey, this is the Holy Spirit has put this on my heart. This is what God wants me to do. And the board met, and they called him back in and said, well, we hate to inform you, but you don't meet the qualifications. You failed the test. Oswald Smith said, what am I going to do now, Lord? He began to pray, and God led him to start a church. And he started a church in Toronto, in Canada. And the church began to grow, and it kept growing. And pretty soon they were sending out more missionaries than any other church. Someone else became the pastor, and he went as a missionary. When he looked back, he said, it was just a detour. That's all it was. And that's what God's people were on. They were on a spiritual detour. God did not choose the normal route. He led them what I would call on a back road in the middle of nowhere, for lack of a better. They went around in circles. And God was trying to teach them the same thing he's trying to teach you and I today, to be totally dependent upon him. Totally dependent upon him in all things, no matter what it might be. You know, we begin our spiritual journey how? In faith. We're to continue in faith, and we're to finish in faith. Matter of fact, Hebrews tells us if we are not living by faith, we cannot be pleasing to God. Go back, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. We don't have to have it all figured out. I can assure you, many, many times in my own spiritual journey. I didn't have it figured out. I didn't know where this was going to come from. When they left Egypt, you think someone probably asked the question, well, what are we going to eat? And what about our clothes? And what about water to drink? And where are we going to go? And how's this going to take place? God didn't lay everything out. He said, I just want you to trust me. Moses was fixed on the cloud and they followed wherever God led them. How important that is. Maybe the Holy Spirit has you on a detour this evening. There might be some things you need to let go of before you can move forward. You keep wanting to do it your way and God says, no, I want it my way. There's some things I want to teach you. There's some things I want to show you. Maybe there's a real battle going on between your old sin nature and the new nature that you now have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I've been there many times and probably will be there again. But when we're on a detour, God begins to show us things that sometimes otherwise we might not ever see. Always remember that God's detours are not God's denials. We're on His timetable, not ours. Detours usually aren't very exciting, but it's when the Holy Spirit of God has a way of preparing us for how God wants to use us. You see, there's one thing I've discovered after all these years. God does a work in us before He does a work through us. And when He does a work in us, He's preparing us for that which He wants to accomplish through our hearts and our lives. Detours are always best for us and for His glory. I remember one time Pam and I, we were on our way to Florida, and I hate driving on the interstate. I just don't like it. I don't like all the traffic. And so we get down so far, we start going on the back roads. There's not hardly any traffic, two lanes. We have it to ourselves. We're going down, and all of a sudden, it says detour. I said, oh boy. So here I go. I turn. I drive 5 miles without seeing another sign. And I thought, somebody just put that there, and I'm going to have to backtrack and keep on going. And then I came to a stop sign, saw another detour pointing that direction. So I went in that direction. And in the midst of all of that, I looked out, and I saw some of the most beautiful, this is in Lower LA, that's at Lower Alabama, by the way, if you don't know, some of the most beautiful cotton fields I've ever seen in all my life. They were just absolutely beautiful, white. It might have had 20 minutes, but God had been speaking to my heart all that time, and then it hit me. The fields are white on the harvest, but the labors are few. And for some reason, God wanted me to understand that in a fresh and new way. Detours have a way of working in our hearts and our lives. Then second, I want you to see the lesson of dead ends. Exodus 14, verse 10, all the way through verse 22. I'm going to skip down just a little bit. All the way down to verse 19. Then the angel of the Lord, who was going in front of the Israelite forces, moved and went behind them. The pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and stood behind them. And it came between the Egyptian and the Israelite forces. There was cloud and darkness. It lit up the night. And neither group came near to the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove back the sea with a powerful east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land. So the waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with the waters like a wall on their right and on their left. Here they are. They're at the Dead Sea, Red Sea. The Egyptians have them surrounded. It appears that they have come to a dead end. What are we going to do? And God begins to speak to Moses. Prepare the people. Tell them to stand firm. They're going to see the salvation of the Lord today. God was about to do something in their life that only God can do. You see, what seemed impossible with man is always possible with God. Matter of fact, Jesus said, with man it is impossible, and with God all things are possible. How many of you believe that all things are possible with God? Amen. All things are possible according to His purpose, will, and plan. What a reassuring this was to the people at that time. You know, we come to those moments when we have to choose between faith and fear. We have to make that choice. What are we going to do? It's not unusual sometimes when there's a bad storm and you have little children, what do? Well, I don't know what yours did, but ours would run and jump in bed with mom and dad. It didn't change the storm, but all of a sudden the child had reassurance. Why? Because the child was with the father and the mother. It may not change the storm, but when our hearts lined up with His, what a reassurance it brings to our hearts and our lives. We have the promise that God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And sometimes on our spiritual journey, I assure you, you're going to run into some dead ends somewhere along the way. It's going to happen. You can mark it down. But God is, again, He's at work in our hearts and our lives. You see, the Holy Spirit of God living in us wants to bring us to a place of desperation, that He might bring us to a place of dependence on Him, so that He can move in our hearts and lives and we can experience His deliverance from whatever it might be. You know, I really believe all of my heart, if we could go around, and I wouldn't dare ask for a show of hands or anything else, but I assure you, in many of our church, there are people today, they're living in bondage to various things, and they stand in need of deliverance. They're at a dead end in their spiritual walk. It's like they're up against the Red Sea, and they're surrounded by the enemy, and they need to see the salvation of God. Oh, how we need that today. Once again, God's trying to teach His people, you just got to depend upon Me. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how this is going to take place. I don't know how it's all going to unfold, but I know the One who does. And that makes all the difference in the world. That's what God is trying to show us. And sometimes we just need to stand still and see the salvation of God. He wants to do a mighty work in our hearts and lives. You see, dead ends have a way of opening doors of opportunity. But we're not on our guard. Here's what happens. We can get discouraged. That's what happened to God's people here. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? They've grown discouraged. We can't move forward. What are we going to do? We're at a dead end. You know, we never stand still spiritually. But dead ends have a way of stopping us dead in our tracks. Now let me just share a personal experience. And this may be a good opportunity to do so. When I felt led to come on a part-time basis to be a legacy ministry director, on my birthday, on a Wednesday, February the 5th, went through all the orientation, everything was good. Thursday morning, we had legacy. Brother Ronnie shared with everybody. Friday morning, I'm in the ER. Now, I got 3 stents. I have tingling in my left arm. That is, if you know anything about medicine, that's not good. So I find myself at the ER. Said, no, it's not your heart. Praise the Lord for that. But the back of your neck and all that looks really bad. I said, okay. So I called Brother Ron. I said, listen, I don't know what's going on, but I need to find out what's going on before we go forward. I just need to know for sure that I'm going to be able to do this. Monday morning, everything went okay on Saturday and Sunday. I told I was here. Monday morning, I wake up and I've got a serious case of COVID. I thought, my goodness, what's going on? I couldn't hardly walk from one room to the next. And then Friday, that following Friday on the 14th, I had to have a CAT scan on my sinuses Found out it wasn't my sinuses that was going on back here. I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I have to deal with some Agent Orange issues. And so here we go again. Well, they do an MRI on my spine to make sure there's no spinal compression, what's going on there. And so all that began to check out. I met with Brother Ronnie again on March the 18th. Was going to start officially on the 24th. I thought, okay, kind of hit a little bit of a dead end there, but we're going to take off now. And then on 2 days later, I injured my left shoulder and could not move this arm more than about 2 inches. I said, Lord, what in the world's going on? I thought, another dead end. What am I going to do? But they found out I did not have a torn rotator cuff after another MRI, and everything was okay, and physical therapy is going to take care of it. I got about another maybe month and a half. I'll be doing great. But it'd been so easy for me to have stepped back and said, you know, I missed it. This is not the Holy Spirit of God at work. I have missed this completely somehow. I thought I prayed it through. I thought this is what God wanted me to do. It would have been easy for me to just said, you know, forget it. I'm at a dead end. How oftentimes we get to a dead end, we just want to say, all right, that's it. Forget it. But I didn't. I knew in my heart that God was leading me. And here I am serving in a great church with a great pastor under his leadership with a great staff, and God is blessing. Only God could have done that. Folks, sometimes when we come to a dead end, we need to be prepared because God's going to do something that otherwise cannot happen. But I want you to know, when you are willing to step out in faith and be obedient to the Lord, we have an enemy. His name is Satan, and he's going to do everything in his power to discourage us. He's going to do everything in his power to frustrate us every way that he possibly can. But don't let a dead end rob you of the blessings that God wants to give you. So often that can happen. The Holy Spirit, through that whole experience, began to reveal things to me that otherwise I would have missed. I would have missed it altogether. So when you come to a dead end, get ready. God's about to do something in your heart and your life that only God can do. And that's where the people were. He was teaching them the importance once again. You got to trust me. You got to rely upon me. And he began to lead them in a fresh new way. Can you imagine? I don't know about you. I try to picture what it must have been like for the Red Sea to part. And I'm walking across, and the dust is flying up because the ground is dry. Can you imagine what that must have been like for those people? I mean, if that don't rattle your chain, you don't have one, right? I mean, seriously. And then third, it's the lesson of dry hose. Listen to what it says in Exodus 15. Then Moses led Israel on from the Red Sea, and they went out to the wilderness of Shur. They journeyed for 3 days in the wilderness without finding water. That's not good. They came to Marah, but they could not drink the water at Marah because it was bitter. It might as well have been a dry hole. And that's why it was named that. And the people grumbled to Moses, what are we going to drink? Well, who was leading them? God was. But who did they grumble against? Moses. Interesting, isn't it? You know, in our spiritual journey, we're going to come across some dry holes. You can mark it down. It's here where the Holy Spirit kind of turns a desert into an oasis for us. And heartaches into hallelujahs. God's people, listen, they were asking, what are we going to do? They were coming to Moses. Moses, it's your fault. You brought us here. And you know what Moses would have probably said? I was simply following the the cloud that represented the very presence and Shekinah glory of God. God is the one that led us here. I'm just following His lead. We have to be on our guard when we come to dry hose. Can you imagine a disappointment? 3 days without water? Disappointments have a way of moving us to apathy. And folks, if we don't do something, when we become apathetic towards something, eventually it's going to lead us to bitterness. And we become very bitter individuals. You know what God's people were doing? They began to grumble. Has anyone ever grumbled? Well, yeah, probably. I know in Legacy this last Thursday I shared with them, I said, you know, it's kind of like Sesame Street. How many of you can remember Sesame Street? Anybody? Okay, we got a few that can. Some of you have probably hadn't heard of it. That's okay. But anyway, we got some Berts and Ernies and we got some big birds. But you know, so far I hadn't come across any Oscar the Grouch. And I'm thankful for that. But they begin to grumble. Here was the man that God was using. God had ordained. God had called. God had placed in the place of leadership that he was in. And the people were grumbling against him. Wow. The grumbling heart's a very dangerous place to be in our spiritual walk, because we begin to blame God as well as we begin to, God, you could have prevented that. You ever said that before? God, you could have changed that, and you didn't. Why? And Lord, why did this have to happen? Why did that have to take place? And we get into this blame game, and we find ourselves crying out to God in the process, and it's counterproductive spiritually. Why am I having to go through all this? Here we were following you. You were leading us. And look where we're at. Look what's happened. Why? And then in fact, it wasn't bad enough. Listen to this. The people said, we'd been better off if we could just go right on back into slavery in Egypt and live like we were living before in bondage. And I want to tell y'all something. I can't see anyone's heart, only God can. But I can tell you there are a lot of those who claim to be saved today, and they've gone back to a life of bondage. Some of you know what I'm talking about. They've gone back to a life of slavery. They've gone back to where they were before they ever came to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's dangerous when we begin to grumble. God would be their provider. God would be the one that would heal them. And yet they would rather die in Egypt than experience a dry hole in their spiritual journey. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? They just saw the Red Sea parted, and they were praising God for their deliverance, and now they were grumbling. How often do we praise God on Sunday in worship and praise God tonight, thankfully to how we were led, and we're praising Him, and then something doesn't quite go right. We have a dry hole, and we begin to grumble against God, and we begin to grumble against somebody else. Why in the world did you lead us this way? And we grumble. A dangerous place to be. They'd rather go back into bondage. Died in Egypt. You know, when you come to dry hose, here's the question. How do we respond? How do we respond? What's going to happen? What are we going to do? Are we going to be able to say, you know, Lord, I'm not going to grumble. I'm not going to complain. I've seen you work in my life in so many different ways. You have delivered me from this. You've delivered me from that. You kept this from happening. You allowed this to happen. But God, I know there was a reason and a purpose that beyond my comprehension and understanding. God's at work. You remember Job? You think of all Job went through? Man, He lost about everything but his life. That's about it. And then he demanded to have a meeting with God. Not a good idea. Well, he got his wish, and he had that meeting with the Lord. And God said, Job, where were you when I created? And where were you when I measured it out? And where were you? And he went on. And all Job could do was repent. That's all he could do. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we come to that dry hole in our spiritual journey, and we find ourselves grumbling and complaining, and we miss and we forget those praises of how God has worked in our hearts and our lives in so many different ways and so many different times. John Yates was a young man, and he had the opportunity to work with a British scholar by the name of John Scott, who wrote a great number of books. You've been in ministry very long. You've probably read one of John Scott's books, more than likely. And he began to reflect on a time when John Scott began to experience some disability in his life, and he started to slow down. And matter of fact, the last 15 years of his life, he went completely blind. And it all began with a small stroke that knocked out the peripheral vision of his left eye. He lost his driver's license, and after that he lost his eyesight. And here was a man who wrote more books than probably if we read every single day. In 10 years we couldn't read all the books that he had written. And he couldn't even see the pages any longer in the midst of all of that. And on top of that, his body grew increasingly weak. He needed more sleep. And pretty soon he was confined to his bedroom. And Yates said, you know, I really tried to ask, Lord, why is this happening to this man? Why does this happen to take place to this man? I mean, maybe Alzheimer's or something. So, you know, surely at least he wouldn't have to know all the things that he's missing. But John Scott, as he was in his bedroom, he had opened a window and he had always listened for the sound of a certain bird. And then in his 80s, his mind was still sharp, but he couldn't do anything but listen to that bird and sleep and eat. And that was about all that he can do. And for Yates, it seemed to be so cruel. But then it dawned on him what was happening. He began to understand why John never complained one time, not once. And here's the reason why. God had given John Scott a gift. You say blindness? Having to live the way he lived? It was a gift. Here's what Yates discovered. God put him in that position so that he was 100% totally dependent upon him. How dependent are you on the Lord? God was showing and fulfilling, and John Scott knew what it was all about. God had given me a gift. Sometimes the things that we look at and we think, that's horrible, sometimes it's the very thing that God will use to bring glory to himself. And teach you and I an invaluable lesson. We're on a spiritual journey. Some of you are on a detour. Some of you have come to a dead end. Where am I going to go from here? It seems impossible. And some of you are experiencing a dry hole, spiritual dryness. I just don't feel connected. Something ain't quite right. The Holy Spirit's at work. But you and I must be willing to yield to Him and say, okay, God, I can't, but You can. Help me to get out of the way so I can experience all that You want to bring to my life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. Thank You that we're on a spiritual journey. And Father, there's someone here this evening and they've never been saved. There's never been a time in their heart and their life when they've asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins. Never been a time, Father, when they've experienced that cleansing that only You can bring. Lord, I pray this evening that Your Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts and they would experience that cleansing that only You can bring to their hearts and their life. I pray for my brothers and sisters that are here this evening. Father, we're all on a spiritual journey. How we need to pray for one another, support one another, lead one another, and help one another in all that we do. But Father, more than anything else, when we come to those times in our life when it seems like we're on some kind of spiritual detour, or we just hit a dead end or a dry hole, where the water seems bitter. But Lord, I'm so thankful they threw a piece of wood in that water, and that reminded me, and it became sweet. It became drinkable. And that kind of reminds me, Father, that of the cross of Jesus, through His precious shed blood, cleansing us, making us whole. Father, we come to those moments in our life, help us to turn to You. And we pray this in Jesus' name.